はい、じゃあ今日はヨブ40章を見ますけど、で、まあ40章もちょっと見るかもしれないけど、まずヨブ40章を見ましょう。はい。では、このところは、先週は神様はヨブに答えました。で、創造のあらゆるところの中に神様の知恵を教えました。で、ヨブはいろんな不満、いろんな質問があったけど、神様はヨブにいくらでも教えるよという感じで言いましたが、ただヨブの態度は、もし神様を訴えようとするなら、見せることができない。まあ、このテーマは、テーマも40章、41章に出てきます。はい。で、最初は40章の1から14節を見ましょう。じゃあ、浅井さん、1から4、あ、14節読んでもらえますか？お願いします。
では、さらにヨブに答えて仰せられた。非難する者は全能者と争おうとするのか。神を責める者はそれを言い立ててみよ。ヨブは主に答えていった。ああ、私はつまらないものです。あなたも何と口答えていきましょう。私はただ手を口に当てるばかりです。一度私は語りましたが、もう口答えしません。二度と私は繰り返しません。主は嵐の中からヨブに答えて仰せられた。さあ、あなたは勇士のように腰に帯を締めよ。私はあなたに尋ねる。私に示せ。あなたは私の裁きを無効にするつもりか。自分を義とするために私を罪に定めるのか。あなたには神のような腕があるのか。神のような声で雷鳴を轟き渡せるのか。さあ、踏まれ、気高さで身を装い、尊厳と威光を身につけよ。あなたの激しい怒りを吐き散らし、すべて高ぶる者を見て、これを低くせよ。すべて高ぶる者を見て、これを抑え、悪者どもをその場で踏みにじれ、彼らを共に塵の中に隠し、その顔を隠れたところにつなぎ止めよ。そうすれば私はあなたの手を叩いていよう。あなたの右の手があなたを救えると。
はい。で、先週、38章、39章見たけど、その初めは同じですから、ここは、まあ、もう一回同じようなことを言っています。実は38章、39章は、まあ、基礎で、40章と41章は、まあ、最高の、まあ、テストみたい。途中で神様は、ヨブはちゃんと意味が分かっているかを確認しています。で、神様は聞いているのは、あなたは今も私に歌えようとするか？あなたは喋ることいっぱいあるんですでしょうか？それか、私の知恵を学ぶ気があるか？ どっちか。ヨブ40章、41章にたくさんの知恵がありますけど、でも、もしヨブは今でも神様に歌えようとする、自分の権利が取られているとか、そういうことばかりを考えたら、神様の知恵を学ぶことができないということです。神様はヨブに自分にあることを説明しようとしています。けど、やっぱり誰かの問題をその人に説明しようとしても認められないとか受け入れない時が多い。じゃあ、なんで受け入れないでしょう？それは自己中心ですから。私たちは自分の問題を他のことよりまあ重んじるから。でも、もし私たちは自分を中心とし せずに神様を中心にしたら、で自分にやることは神様の手によって認めるなら神様の知恵を、理解できるでしょう。ですからここにヨブの答えがあります。なんでこのあらゆる災いはヨブの ところに来たか、なんでヨブはこのように扱われているか、神様は説明したいけどその理解を妨げていることは自己中心、自分の権利を要求すること、自分の問題を他のことより重んじること。ヨブ、あなたはそれでも続けるか。でヨブは、いや、もう何も話すことはありません、私はもう一度語りましたけど、でももう口答えはしません、二度と私は繰り返しません、聞きます。その態度だったら私たちは神様の、知恵を学ぶことができる。やっぱり私たちの一番大きな問題は自己中心、自分のことを強調する、そういう時に私たちの目が見えなくなります。まあ相手もそうです。人に助ける時にその人の心は本当に自分ばっかり気にしているなら多分助けることができません。まあサッカーとかラグビーのチームに誰かが自分が走りたい、自分がボールを持ちたい、自分がこのポジションをやりたい、そればっかり考える人はそのチームみんなのための行動とかは理解できない。だからその人はあまり助けることができない。でも逆に自分のその夢を捨てる場合、自分が一番ゴール入れる人ではなくてもいいと決めたら、自分が例えばフォードでなくてもいい、バックスでもいいと思ったら、それから最高の最適なポジションに生かされて、でチーム のためにうまくいける。まあクリスト教は同じです。私たちの信仰も同じです。いろんな人はいろんな生き方があります、いろんな状況があります。私たちは自分の権利を要求することをやめなければならない。確かにこの世界では人権を守ることが大事ですけど、でその他の人の権利を、まあ、守る行動も参加してもいいと思いますけど、でも自分の場合は特に神様の御手に与えられている状況に関しては、まあ、自分の権利はないです。ヨブは、神様はヨブにそういうことを言います。それは41章、41章の11節、誰が私に捧げたのか、私は私が報いなければならないほどに、天の下にあるものはみんな私のものだ。だからあなたは何かがないから捧げたから、私はあなたに何かしなければならないとかあげなければならないわけではない。全てのものは私のものです。神様は恵みによって私たちに多くの賜物を与えます、多くの贈り物を与えます、多くの祝福を与えますけど、でも全てが神様が決めるものです。神様はそれより大事なプランがあるときにその通りします。私たちは言い訳はありません。だから神様の正しさを信頼する必要があります。私たちはそれを理解することができるけど、でも私たちが絶対こうだ、絶対いい人生を送らなければならない、いい悪生活 いい仕事をしなければならないとか、いい状況にいなければならない、その欲求がある限り私たちは神様の立場から見ることができない。はい、だから私たちの周りに私たちが中心で全てがうちの周りに回転することを、まあ、やめましょう。本当の人生の目的を見出しましょう。で、それが条件で、それができたから、ヨブは正しく答えたから、それから、この最後の2つの動物によって、神様はヨブに完全な説明をします。Alright, so let's look at Job chapter 40 today. We're going to look at 40 and 41. And we see that God answered Job in chapters 38 to 41. 38 and 39, he went through the first round of reasoning. And then he comes here again to a second round of reasoning. And we'll read it now, and you'll notice that some of the things that he says at the beginning of chapter 40 was just like what he said at the beginning of chapter 38. In other words, he's going through the same teaching again, but he's giving Job a chance to assess whether he's really got the message, like a midterm test. This is not the final test, it's a midterm test. He's stopping halfway to see if he's following. And if he is, he'll continue, but if he's not, he can't. Let's have a look at Job chapter 40. The Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." Then Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." All right, and so you see that he's going now, he's going into the second sparring match. He's going into the second round of talks. This time, Job is willing to lay down his accusations. He's willing to lay down his arguments. He says, "No, it's all right, I'm not going to say anything. I'm here to learn." So then God goes on, and God is not angry with Job here. This is very important to realize. He's not angry with him. He's teaching him. He's trying to correct his misunderstanding. Verse 8, "Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? And can your voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at all who are proud and bring them low. Look at all who are proud and humble them. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you." He's saying to Job, "Are you still going to pursue your case against me? Are you still going to say that what I'm doing is not just? Because if you are, you can do that if you want. But the thing is, if you are like that, you're never going to understand what I'm trying to teach you. I have a lot to teach you. I've already gone through 38 and 39. We talked about these animals. We've talked about the stars. We've talked about the rain and the hail. Each one of them has the answers to the questions that you've had, Job, about the reason that these things have happened to you and the reason that God has allowed them. But now we're going to get to the really big things. We're coming to the dinosaurs. We're coming to Behemoth and Leviathan. And we're coming to Satan himself. We're going to really understand what's going on here. But if you don't drop your case against me, there'll be no understanding. If you don't give up your desire to be center and have all of the court proceedings revolving around your rights, then we're not going to proceed at all. And this is the biggest problem that we have so many times is we always want to demand our rights, especially in this modern age. We think we have the right to everything. In fact, we think that our rights are more important than everything else. My right to a good reputation. Sometimes when we're accused, it becomes such a serious thing. We can't just let it go if someone says something about us. They've insulted me in front of other people, or my good name has been spoiled. And people will go to all lengths to justify themselves. And God is saying, would you condemn me? Would you condemn the things that I'm allowing to come into your life in order to justify yourself? Is your reputation so important to you that you looking good and not looking like you're being judged is more important than all these works that I'm doing in your life? And Job said, no, it's not. Forget about it. And then he said, good, so we can move on. Think of a sports player in a team. You know, if you had a soccer player or a rugby player and they demand to play this particular position, I will play center forward and that's the only position I'm going to play. Well, all right, but what if there's someone else who is good at playing center forward and you're not as good? Or what if there's another position that they need you in and there's no one to fill that position and it's not as glorious? When we stop thinking about ourselves and our own glory and putting ourselves in the center, then we can think about what's good for the team, what's good about how the strategy will work for the team. But as long as we only think of ourselves, the other things don't get taken into consideration. And so when a person has a problem, we often other people can see very clearly the answer to their problem. But the person themselves is blind to it. Why is that? It's because the person is only concerned about themselves. They're putting themselves, their own problems, as the biggest issue that there is in the world. And everything revolves around them. And this courtroom proceeding, this is not a classroom. I'm not here to learn from God. I'm here to complain about my rights. And God's saying, no, if you want to complain about your rights, it's not going to be a classroom at all. What we want to do is drop the case, and then I'll explain and we'll talk about what this all means and what's happening. But we've got to drop our self being center all the time, right? We think we have the right to a happy life. We think we have the right to a wealthy life. We think we have the right to a healthy life. We think we have the right to a good reputation. In fact, we don't. In chapter 41, God says this. Look at 41, verse 11. Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. No one can stand up and say, I have the right to this, and you never gave it to me. Everything belongs to God. Now, God gives us, by his grace, lots of good things. He gives us rain and sun. He gives us air and food and water and places to live and friends, families. God gives us many things. But there's nothing that God doesn't give us that we can say he should have given it to us, because everything, it belongs to God and he can do with it what he wants. God is gracious by nature, but sometimes it's in the interest of ourselves and the greater interest of the kingdom of God to deny certain things and that we go without certain things. Like Israel had to go without water for 3 days after they got out of Egypt, in order for God's miraculous power to be revealed. But it was necessary for them to go without for a while. So as long as we can stop complaining and claiming, then we can learn. We're here to learn God's wisdom, and God is right in the process here of trying to answer all of Job's questions. All the things Job has wanted to know. Why did all this happen to me? He's explaining it to him through this. And he's about to get on to the biggest issue at all. And he needs to make sure that Job's attitude is correct. How is your attitude? Are you still demanding that everything should go your way and that you should have every advantage that's possible? Or are you willing to let those things go aside and start learning God's wisdom? はい、じゃあそしたらヨブはその自分の、歌えをやめて黙りましたので、神様はレッスンを続けました。神様はヨブに怒ってない、ヨブに教えようとしているので、40章の今回はベヘマトの話を見ましょう。15節から24節。 あ、須内さん、15から24を読んでもらえますか。
はい。さあ、カバを見よ。これはあなたと眺めて私が作ったもの。牛のように草を食らう。見よ、その力は腰にあり、その強さは腹の筋にある。尾は炭の木のように枯れ、桃の筋から筋は絡み合っている。骨は青銅の管、肋骨は鉄の棒のようだ。これは神が作られた大地の獣。これを作られた方がご自分の剣でこれに近づく。山々はこれのために産物をもたらし、野の獣も皆そこで戯れる。彼は蓮の下、あるいは足の茂みや沼に横たわる。蓮はその陰でこれを覆い、川の柳はこれを囲む。たとえ川が溢れてもそれは慌てない。その口にヨルダン川が注ぎ込んでも動じない。誰がその目を掴んで鶴を捕らえようか、誰が罠にかけてその鼻を突き通すことができようか。
はい、ありがとうございます。はい、この動物は、まあ、日本語ではカバと書いてますけど、確実にカバではありません。カバという訳は、エジプト語のカバの言葉と似ているけど、でも、この言葉はベヘモト。で、ベヘモトは、獣という意味に近い。しかし、この説明によると、神様が作ったものの中で一番大きいもの、それは19節に書いてある。これは神が作られた第一の獣。神が作られた第一の獣で、これを作られた方が、ご自分の剣でこれを近づく。カバが一番恐ろしいとか一番でかいものではありません。それはそうです。あと、まあ殺すをあカバを殺すこともできると思います。ゾウでも殺せるなら、ゾウはカバより大きいし、速いし、多分カバよりだいぶ怖いと思います。確か川にいる場合は、カバが一番怖いと思いますけど、でも神様が作られたものの中で第一のものではないでしょう。逆に化石を見ると、神様が作られたものの中で一番大きいのは恐竜、ブラキオサウルスとか、ギガノタサウルスとか、そういうもう兄弟的なでっかい恐竜、まあおそらくそういうものだ。彼の力が首にある。ここに16節、見よ、その力は腰にあり、その、強さは、腹の、筋にある。すみません、あれはレビアタンのことだった。このものはその杉の木のような尻尾があって、まあ長い首があって、本当にもう殺しにくいと思います。やったことないですけど、はい。ベヘモト、じゃあ神様はベヘモトのことで何を言おうとしている。こういうことです。また19節、これは神が作られた第一の獣。これを作られた方がこう自分の剣でこれに近づく。神様が言っているのは、こんなでかいものでも私は収めることができる。こんな怖いものでも私の前には何もない。もう一瞬止めることができる。 どんなに大きな台風であっても神様は一瞬で収めることができます。どんなに大きな戦争があっても神様は一瞬それを止めることができる。どんなに大変な病気があっても神様は癒すことができます。どんなに大きな問題があっても神様が全然平気です。それを収めることができる。収めるという言葉はマシャルで、マシャルの別の意味は理解する。理解することと収めることは同じです、ヘブライ語で。まあいろんな言葉ありますけど、でも創世記一章、まあもう一回見ましょうか。創世記一章、神様は全ての動物をアダムとエヴァの手、もうアダムの手に渡した時に彼らを治めるように命じた。1章28節、27節、神は人を自身の形として創造された。神の形として彼を創造し、男と女とに彼らを創造された。私たちは神様の形に創造されているから、神様がやることを私たちもやるべきです。で、28節、神は彼らを祝福された。神は彼らに仰せられた。産めよ、増えよ、地を満たせ、地を従えよ、海の魚、空の鳥、地を這うすべての生き物を支配せよと書いています。支配せよ、従えさせよ。私たちはこの地球、この動物を従えさせなければならない。じゃあできる、すべての生き物の中で第一作られた生き物も入っている、恐竜も入っている。だから私たちはこれを治めることができるはず。神様がヨブに言っているのはできるか、でも本当はやるべきでしょう。こんな怖いものでも治めれるか、でも本当はできるはずでしょう。箴言はヘブライ語でミシレイということという本です。マシャルの本という意味です。マシャル、治める、支配する。また箴言では理解する、謎を理解するということです。だからこの詳しいことは何でやるか、神様はヨブにその動物の特徴を伝えているわけです。その動物をよく見る人はこういうことがわかる。まずは草を食べている、牛みたいに草を食べています。次は力はどこにあるかというと、まあ腹にある。で、腹は大変もう強いところだけど、まあもしかしたらそこはちょっと難しいですけど、でも首の辺は割とまあ取りやすいかもしれない。T-Rex は下の足はでっかいだったけど、でも前の手がもう本当にびっくりするほどちっちゃい。その手が全然力がないので、T-Rex を殺そうと思ったらその辺に狙ったらいいかもしれない。神様はその動物の特徴をいろいろ言っています。どこに住んでいるか、その水にいるところ、影にいるところに住んでいる。まあもしかしたら 険しい山に追い払ったら、それは弱くなるかもしれない。神様はそれをよく見て、それを学べ、納めということ。私たちも悪魔の、技をよく経験しているから、どういう特徴に狙われる、どういう時に私たちは弱いか、彼はどういう対策、どういう策略を取って人を狙うかをよくわかる。だから神様の知恵、聖書にある神様の知恵を学びながら、自分の経験、神様と一緒に歩んでいろいろな経験があるでしょ。その中で自分がいつ倒れたか、いつ失敗したかとか考えながら、聖霊は私たちに教えて知恵を与えている。だからじゃあ今回こそできるでしょう。だから、弟子たちは例えば2回嵐の中でイエス様と一緒にいて、2回目にペトロはその波に乗り越えた。私たちはベヘモトを治めるべきです。サタンの技、サタンの迫害を治めるべきです。サタンが発見している人たちの怒りを治めるべきです。自然災害による破壊を治めるべきです。なぜなら神様はそういうものを私たちに与えている、知恵を学ばせていただいている。でその知恵を他の人たちに教えるわけです。ソロモンも自分の人生でいろいろな失敗をしたけど、最後に伝道書の書を書いてその知恵を残しました。はい。そういうそういうことだと思います。じゃああと一回くぐりやります。 OK, so we came to the middle part then, and we've seen here with Job. God has said to Job,Are you ready to lay down your case? If you're ready to lay down your case, we can go on. If you're ready to stop demanding your rights, we can go on. If you're here to demand that you deserve better than whatever, then there'll be no lesson. But if you're ready to be quiet and listen, let's talk about what's been happening to you. I've got a lot to teach you. And so we begin with Behemoth here. Let's have a look at it. Verse 15.Chapter 40, verse 15. Look at Behemoth, which I made along with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength it has in its loins, and what power in the muscles of its belly. Its tail sways like a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are close-knit. Its bones are tubes of bronze, its limbs like rods of iron. It ranks first in the works of, among the works of God.Yet its maker can approach it with the sword. The hills bring it their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. Under the lotus plants it lies, hidden among the reeds of the marsh. The lotuses conceal it in their shadow. The poplars by the stream surround it. A raging river does not alarm it. It's secure, though the Jordan should surge against its mouth. Can anyone capture it by the eyes, or trap it and pierce its nose?So what he's talking about here, I think, he's saying, listen, Job, we're talking about overcoming troubles, overcoming tribulations, overcoming evil, overcoming challenges and dangerous things that I'm bringing to you. Let's look at this animal that I made with you, Behemoth. Now, of course, many of the translations say a hippopotamus. But verse 19 says, it ranks first among the works of God. I don't think, it would be pretty hard to say that a hippopotamus would be first among the works of God. I don't think it commands the respect that even a lion really would have. Elephants are bigger and probably faster and more dangerous than a hippopotamus if you're on land. perhaps when you're in the water, a hippopotamus is the most dangerous of the animals, or certainly in Africa they say that it is. But it doesn't match the description that's mentioned here in some ways. For example, it says it moves its tail like a cedar. Okay, so if it moves its tail like a cedar, that's not a hippopotamus. But what is the point of all this? God is saying, even the greatest, strongest animal in the world that many people would be afraid to go near, terrified of, I can approach near it with my sword. I can rule over it. I can kill it. I can hunt it. I can outsmart it. I can catch it. And in Genesis chapter 1, God said every living creature was put under man. It says, let us create man in our image and our likeness. God created man in his image and in his likeness. We are in the image and likeness of God. The things that God does, we should be able to do. And Jesus said, the greater works that I do, greater works than these you shall do. So we are supposed to do the great works of God. We are supposed to be able to hunt behemoth. I suppose behemoth, from the fossils that we've found of the greatest and biggest land animals there are, it seems to be some kind of a sauropod dinosaur, maybe a Giganotosaurus or a Brachiosaurus or something like that, Diplodocus, whatever these great big animals that rule, we say rule the earth, but they didn't rule the earth because man ruled them and God ruled over them. We are supposed to rule them. So what is it with all these details here? Well, in Genesis 1, when God says rule them, that word rule is the word mashal, and the word mashal means understand. Like in the book of Proverbs, which is all about understanding dark sayings and hard sayings and mysteries, the book of Proverbs is called Mishle, and Mishle means the book of mashal, and mashal means to understand. So the word rule means understand. If you understand something, you can rule it. If you understand how an engine works, you can drive the car. If you can't, you'll be in trouble. If you understand how a parachute works, you can bring it under your control and use it to jump out of a plane, if you understand how it works. If you don't, you can't. If you understand something, you can rule it. And so what he's doing here is saying to Job, listen, look at this animal. Just take a look at it for a while. Let's consider it, right? Because you're supposed to overcome this animal, like I can. Most people can't, but I can. It's no problem to me. Look at him. I made him along with you. He's just a creature. He feeds on grass, all right? It's not a meat eater, just a grass eater. If he doesn't have grass, he'll die. Now look at the strength in his loins, all in the muscles of his belly, all right? Don't try to attack there. You probably will not get through that. And watch out for that tail. He swings it like a cedar tree, you know. So if you get hit by the tail, you'll be in trouble. Stay away from that. Maybe you might be better off to go for the neck. Like with the T-Rex, you know, those little arms he's got at the front. You know, they're not much use. So there are weak points. There are strong places, but there are also weak places. That's where you would attack if you were going to get one of these. Now, where does he live? He lives in the river, all right? So maybe if he's driven out of the river, then he might not be as strong. He likes to hide, by the way, and he doesn't like the sun. He likes to get under the trees and under the shade. So keep him out in the hot sun for a few hours and he might be pretty weak, all right? So you see, what God is doing is he's giving Job wisdom. He's saying, I want you to rule behemoth, and I want you to do that. You need to understand it, where its weak points are, what its patterns are. Now, of course, he's not just talking about hunting here. This is not, you know, Edomite Hunting Magazine, special article on the behemoth. He's talking actually about overcoming the greatest evils and troubles in life. The behemoth is only an example of Satan and the dangerous situations that God brings into our life. God led Jesus straight out into the wilderness to match the devil. God led Jacob straight out to Assyria to meet Laban, to be challenged by someone who was much more powerful and strong than he was. And that's what God does. Jacob sent Joseph to his brothers, and Jesus says, "I send you out as sheep among wolves." God sends us out to face these monsters. These monsters are sickness. They are natural disasters. They are lost jobs and opportunities. They are broken relationships. They are rebellions and wars and troubles. They are personal failures. They are all kinds of things that God sends us out into, and he wants us to overcome them. And we can understand these things with the word of God, right? How did they overcome the devil in the end? They overcame him by the word of God and their confession, their testimony. That's how we overcome. We overcome by the word of God, by reading what the Bible says about these kind of people, these kind of times, these kind of relationships, these kind of situations. We understand the character of them and ourselves. And we also have the experience, our testimony, the experiences that God has taken us through. Oh yeah, you remember when I fell in that time? That was because I was just thinking of myself, or I wasn't careful with the words that I used, or I didn't say that in the right way, or I was too selfish and I was only thinking of my rights at that time, or when I was sick, I was so miserable and upset that I couldn't say anything nice to anyone, and now God has taken me through that experience and shown me, and next time it happens, I know that I shouldn't have a grumpy attitude when I'm sick, for example. There's a whole lot of examples that we go through. Personal failure, sin, is sometimes it's like that. Otherwise, it's persecution. And the things that Job has gone through, God has given him those experiences, and he's teaching him wisdom through them. This is Behemoth. Behemoth is the disasters that took away all of Job's servants and cattle and children. Behemoth is the loss of his reputation. Behemoth is the wars that went on in his kingdom and the revolution that they were trying to make here to kick Job off the throne. This is Behemoth. And God's saying, it's not a problem for me, and I want you to overcome it as well. But to do so, you've got to understand it. And stop thinking about yourself. Just start looking at the issue, looking at what I say about it, and then understanding how to hunt this beast. Alright, so there's one more point. はい、じゃあ最後に、あの、面白いことで、ヨブ40章はベヘメトを教えます。ヨブ41章はレビアタンについて教えます。あの、40、41、ベヘメトとレビアタン。でも、詩編は同じことあります。あの、詩編73章は、ベヘモトという言葉が出てきます。だから、ベヘモトのことを教えている。で、詩編74章、次は、レビアタンについては言ってます。だから、その2つのペアがあります。面白いでしょう。あの、隣の章。だから、まあ今日はベヘモトのことを見てますから、詩編73を見ましょう。で、来週は、レビアタンのことを話しますので、あの、41と詩編、74を見ます。まずは、詩編73。詩編73を見ます。ベヘモット。この、まあ、一番の大変な、あの、神様が作られた動物です。ですけど、この箇所では、あの、22節。まあ、まずは22節。詩編73の22。私は愚かで、 わきまえもなく、あなたの前で獣のようでした。その獣という言葉はベヘモトという同じ言葉です。あんまり聖書に出てこないけど、この時に出てきます。じゃあこの文脈を見てみましょう。で、今まで学んだことをここで照らし、ここでこれに照らして知恵を学びましょう。じゃあ浅井さん、ごめんなさいですけど、1から、まあ一応全部読みたいと思いますけど、いいですか。詩編73、
はい、
お願いします。
詩編73ですね。
はい、
はい、誠に神はイスラエルに心の清い人たちに尽くしに深い。しかし私自身はこの足がたわみそうで、私の歩みは滑るばかりだった。それは私が誇り高ぶる者を妬み、悪者の栄えるのを見たからである。彼らの死には苦痛がなく、彼らの体は油にいっているからだ。人々が苦労するとき、彼らはそうではなく、他の人のようには打たれない。それゆえ、高慢が彼らの振りかざりとなり、暴虐の着物は彼らを覆っている。彼らの目は脂肪で膨らみ、心の思いは溢れてる。彼らはあざけり、悪意を持って語り、高いところから死んだりを告げる。彼らはその口に天に据え、口を天に据え、その下は地を引き眠る。それゆえそのためはここに帰り、豊かな水は彼らによって飲みされた。こうして彼らは言う。どうして神は知ろうか。豊かな姿に知識があろうか。見よ、悪者とはこのようなものだ。彼らはいつまでも安らかで富を増している。確かに私は虚しく心を清め、手を洗って清くしたのだ。私は一日中打たれ通しで朝元に責められた。もしも私がこのままを述べようと言ったなら、確かに私はあなたの子らの世代のものを恨みただことだろう。私はこれを知ろうと思い巡らしたが、それは私の目には不意であった。私は神の聖所に入り、ついに彼らの最後を悟った。まことにあなたは彼らを滑りやすいところに置き、彼らを滅びに突き落とされます。まことに彼らは瞬く間に滅ぼされ、突然の恐怖で滅ぼし尽くされましょう。目覚めの夢のように、主よ、あなたは奮い立つとき、彼らの姿を蔑まれましょう。私の心が苦しみ、私の内なる思いが突き刺されたとき、私は愚かでわきまえもなく、あなたの前で獣のようでした。しかし私は絶えずあなたと共にいました。あなたは私の身の手をしっかり捕まえられました。あなたは私を悟しと導き、後には栄光の地に受け入れてくださいましょう。天ではあなたの他に誰を持つことができましょう。地上ではあなたの他に私は誰も望みません。
はい、OK。ありがとうございます。ここで、ヨブと同じ経験をこの人、アサフは、経験している。他の人は悪いのに全然問題はない。彼らが長く生きて子供が多く、自分のものは全部祝福されるけど、でも正しい人は逆にあらゆる苦労を受けている。で、どうした。あ、13節は ほぼヨブが言ったこと。確かに私は虚しく心を清め、手を洗って清くしたのだ。まあヨブは、まあ、ほぼ同じようなことを言ってた。ですけど、その人たちの最後を見たらよく分かった。そういう時にヨブは22章に私は愚かでわきまえもなく、 あなたの前で獣のようでした。自分の問題ばかり考えたら、他の人と比べたら私たちは獣のように弱いものになります。人間の力は知恵です。動物は才能と力、肉体的な力ですけど、人間の特徴は知恵、神様を理解することで、動物より賢いことです。だから私たちはこのように自分ばっかり考えて、自分の問題ばっかり考えて、なんで私は苦しんでいる、なんで私は健康、不健康になっている、なんで私のお金がなくなっている、なんで何一つもうまくいかないとかその時に私たちは理解、何も理解できないけど、神様は23節で次の箇所で、しかし私は絶えずあなたと共にいました、あなたは私の右の手をしっかり捕まえられました。だからその問題の中で神様は真っそばに歩いていた、手をつないでいた。だから実は全然問題はなかった。神様と共に歩んでいた。ダビデは羊を死の谷を連れていて、牧場を探しに行くときに、やがていいところに行くけど、それまでに大変なところを通る。そういうことです。獣というのはこの世、神様を知らないこの世の力です。その人たちは確かに強いですけど、一瞬になくなる。みんな弱いところはあります。はい。だから28節は結論、しかし私にとっては神の近くにいることが幸せなのです。私は神なる主を私の酒どころとし、あなたのすべての御業を語り継ぎましょう。目視で体が獣に勝利を得たのは、体がその御言葉、口、主の御言葉と自分の証によって、竜に勝利を得ました。私たち神様と共にいて、神様の御言葉を持ちながら、読みながら、学びながら、私たちの経験で理解した分かった知恵を語り継げること、それは私たちの証です。そういうふうに私たちは勝利を得る。どうやってベヘメトを借りできるでしょう。同じです。神様と共に行って、いや尻尾は大変危ない、木みたいに触れるからそれは避けましょう、腹はちょっと無理だよ、あそこは暑すぎるから、でも目も口も危ないですけど、でも例えばその長い首は多分弱いでしょう、そこを打ったらいいそういうふうに神様は私たちにどの状況の特徴でも教えようとしている。でどうやってこの問題に乗り越えるか、その知恵を神様は常に与えています。じゃあ来週はレビアタンのことで、レビアタンは最後です。レビアタンはやっぱり反キリストを表しているものだと思います。はい。またそのために41章と次の詩編74をまたイザヤのあり得る箇所ですけど、27、28、29、30、31、それは全部レビアタンのことを教えています。はい。じゃあそのような箇所を今週ちょっと読んでみてください。 OK, so finally let's have a look at Psalm 73. It's an interesting thing when we look at Behemoth and Leviathan, because in Job we have two chapters. The first one teaches about Behemoth, the second one teaches about Leviathan, 40 and 41. And in the Psalms, it was the same. We have Psalm 73, which teaches about Behemoth, and we have Psalm 74, which teaches about Leviathan. So it's interesting. Two chapters of Job, two chapters of the Psalms. But today we're looking at Behemoth, so we'll read that one, and next week we'll do Leviathan. Let's look at Psalm 73. This opens up Book 3 of Psalms. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, just like Job. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, their pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Is this not talking about the Antichrist? It is talking about the Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance, just like Behemoth, right? They say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I've kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. That's almost exactly the word for word what is in Job. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. All right, that's Job. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. That's Job. Verse 17, till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. And that's what happens to Job. He comes into the presence of God, and he begins to understand. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They're like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a brute beast before you. That word brute beast there is the word behemoth. It doesn't occur much in the Bible, just a few times, and this is one of the other times. Yet, I am always with you. You hold me by the right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good for me to be near God. I've made the Sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. See, he goes through the exact experience of Job, but this is also, there's so many connections here to the behemoth. The way that it drinks up the waters, it's a brute beast, it's all powerful, no one can catch it, no one can touch it, and yet God said, I can, it's nothing to me. Why are you worried about behemoth? You can catch behemoth. But you've got to know and understand behemoth. You've got to understand the wicked. Why they have such an easy life, why they're allowed to get away with blue murder, because in the end everything they have will be taken away in a second. And also every trouble that they put you through is a blessing that you learn from. Like in the book of Job, that, you know, in the beginning every time he says curse, the word curse, the actual word for curse is the word baruch, to bless. Even though it says, you know, curse God and die, it actually says bless God and die. But the translations always translate it curse, because obviously that's what it means. But they don't. The actual original word is always bless. When Satan says he will curse you to your face, he actually says he'll bless you to your face in Hebrew. And they translate it curse. It's funny. It's not translated that way in any other place. In other words, whatever curses the devil tries to put on us is a blessing. The devil is not even allowed to use the word curse in God's presence. He can only say bless. So if we understand that, if we understand that our troubles and failures and pains and all the other things are just simply a part of God's blessing to us, and that God is always with us, right? Immediately after he said, you know, when I was envious of the, when I was senseless and ignorant and I was embittered and, you know, jealous and whatever, I was like Behemoth. I couldn't see. I was as stupid as Behemoth. I was big and strong and powerful, but just as dumb. But I am always with you, he says in the next verse. You hold me by the right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you take me into glory. I should have known that every step along the way, you were with me, leading me through these experiences and teaching me through them. And at the end, they overcome him by the word of God and by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so it says here, I will tell of all your deeds, all the things you've taught me through these incidents in my life. I will explain it all to you. I will explain it all to other people, and I'll give people the wisdom that you have given me through all of these difficulties. That is the purpose of life. Job, that's why you had to fight with all these monsters, because this is what I'm leading you to. This is the battles that I'm drawing you to. It's like, you know, this is the golden age of going out with your sword onto the battlefield, and this is the time to fight. And in eternity there'll be no more fighting, but now is the time to build up a reputation, just like David's mighty men. Hey, okay, so next time we'll look at Leviathan. Let's pray. Tenotasama, kansha shimasu. かあの私たちのありゆる試練の中で神様がまっそぐにいること、私たちの手を結んでいること、あの教えようとしていることをいつも認めれるように助けてください。本当に私たちの足はあの滑るものですけど、あのどうか私たちを立たせてください。この世のものに支配されないように、逆に理解の上であのこの世のものを全部支配できるように助けてください。感謝します。イエス様の御名によって祈ります。アメン。